This week on Prepping 2.0.
Time to open up the mail you sent us.
Patreon prepping questions.
When disaster strikes, will you be prepared? This is Prepping 2.0 with authors and prepping experts, Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Online at prepping2-0.com.
Get ready. Prepping 2.0 coming in 3, 2, One.
Welcome, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher over here at Prepping 2.0, joined by my co-host on the show and co-host in life, Glenn Tate.
It's one of your favorite topics. Well, it's actually about 23 topics. That's the number of Patreon questions we answer in this show. This show is going to have tons of variety, and we're going to give you answers to questions you may never have realized you needed the answer to. And as always, remember, the only thing harder than planning for a disaster is explaining why you didn't.
So, my goodness, as we go through some of the weird weather things that are happening, I don't know where y'all are at, but it's getting weird where we are. There's some weird things that can happen in the power grid, and that can be surges, that can be power outages that lead to surges.
Hamas attacks.
Just crazy stuff. So, what is the one thing that can happen with all of these sporadic, you know, instability in the power grid?
Power surges.
The one thing that we will always recommend to you to protect your whole home as well as your vehicle is EMP Shield. It's like a really awesome, huge surge protector. Protects you from EMPs, power surges, lightning strikes,
coronal mass ejections,
CMEs. Yes. So encourage you to check them out at our website, prepping2-0.com. Click on Friends and Affiliates, and over there you'll get a nice little coupon code.
Top 100 items that disappear first. This is a list from Bosnia survivors available at prepping2-0.com. That's our website under the appropriate heading, Top 100 List of Things. It's a great weekly reminder of stuff you should be stocking up on that you may never have thought of. Today is not an example of something that you never thought of, because you have thought about this, but it's a great weekly reminder. That's number 37, first aid kits. Shelby, are we talking about the little Band-Aid things, or are we talking about full trauma surgery centers, or maybe something in between?
I think something more in between, mm-hmm. And we certainly learned our lesson from this. We've told this story before. Are you thinking the same story I am?
Yes.
So a few years ago at the cabin, in fact, it was 2020, I remember.
Yes, the real cabin in the books.
The real cabin that was in the books.
Both book series, because yes, there's true. A crossover chapter in your books.
True. So we had gone there with Joel.
The real Joel.
The real Joel and some of his friends. And they had gone playing out on the beach.
Yeah.
In bare
carefree.
Feet. Carefree. Because they're children enjoying life and getting away from lockdowns. And that beach was covered with oyster shells.
Uh-huh. And which is great on bare feet.
It's not. And so here we are at the cabin. The cabin.
Yes.
The cabin. Couldn't find a first aid kit to save our life.
And so not only are you tearing your feet to shreds with the barnacles and sharp oyster shells, but your feet, now cut open, are stuck in primordial ooze, which would be the ocean's muck and scum that is sitting on the surface. So it is a really terrible infection environment.
Mm-hmm.
And the most prepared people on Earth, Glenn and Shelby,
at the cabin, that should be the most prepared place on Earth.
We were not prepared.
Nope. So I think I had a pocket knife to pick particles out of cuts on feet.
And it was everything I could do. One of the medications you had was a gag to put over my mouth so I wouldn't say I told you so to these young boys, but I meant to say.
And we remedied that, though, I will say that.
A gag for me?
No, we didn't do that, but we put together stout.
Yeah.
Not just boo-boo Band-Aid packs. We spent a weekend.
Yeah.
Stocking up basically small tubs with pretty stout first aid kits for every single one of our locations.
It was not terribly expensive, and it was something that we did on our own, and there was a lot of satisfaction in that. We have them to this day.
We still do.
And they are very handy. So you don't have to go out and get a surgical table, but then again, you need something more than Band-Aids. You'll figure out what you need. Mm-hmm. There's a million lists on the interwebs. There's a ton of YouTube places. Get yourself layering. You knew
right.
I was going to say
exactly.
It. Layering. Yes, you should have boo-boo kits, and yes, you should have more stout first aid kits and even more stout first aid kits.
And yes. I'll say this, a prepackaged one, like you can go to Costco and Walmart and buy a prepackaged one, I don't think that's enough. I think you need one of those plus more, plus peroxide, plus tweezers, plus scissors, plus, because all of those are basically almost a one-use
thing.
Yes. You want something pretty, pretty stout. I'd throw in a TQ, tourniquet kit,
And one of the cool things about first aid kits, and it's not a cool thing, it's a necessary thing, get yourself a purpose-built carrying case. Don't try to put this in a grocery sack, right?
No.
That's one of the things we got. We have these purpose-built carrying cases. They're clear. You can see what's in it.
And we've put
we figured out the size, right? We figured out how much space we need, and we filled it up. And don't cheap out.
I mean,
you don't want to go to the ER. That's a lot more expensive than a first aid kit. You don't want to go to the ER because of this.
And we almost did. One of these kids, he was having a hard time walking the next day, and I was really concerned about infection.
But he wasn't our kid, so we didn't care that much.
No, but we really cared about him. But I did. I called his parents. I talked to them. We also marked our homemade first aid kits with red crosses. So they're easy to see across a garage, so you can find them right away.
Super complicated roll of red duct tape.
I know.
It was difficult to do. So I think we beat the first aid kit thing to death. Well, now we're going to tell you what you missed from a recent after show if you're not a Patreon. The good guys show up with a Don't Tread on Me flag, and they're saying, this is about freedom, this is about justice, this is about goodness and wholesomeness. Bam, snap of the fingers, that show was canceled.
In one episode, they just started all of these broad storylines. All of a sudden, all of these storylines in one episode get shut down abruptly.
There is so much more to this show than the regular show. Find out what you're missing for $2 a month. One of the things you're missing if you're not a Patreon is you can't ask us questions like you're going to hear the answers to in today's episode. Well, let's get into it. Time to open up the mail you sent us. Okay, we didn't have actual paper letters from you, as the sound effect would imply, but Andy, our producer, is a master of sound effects, and we'd like to show off his skills. So there you have it. We're going to answer Patreon's questions that were posted on the Patreon app. And allow me to start, Shelby. First, we have Michael, and he asks, can you interview fellow Montanan Brandon Smith from altmarket.us? His newsletter is the Wild Bunch Dispatch. He has two questions. We'll answer the first one first. We would love it if somebody got a hold of Brandon and did a little bit of prep work for us, no pun intended. Shelby, how is the best way to get us to get a guest on? Because here's the thing, we're not complaining. We love what we do. We have, both of us have pretty serious day jobs that take up most of our time, and constantly trying to schedule guests is extremely time consuming. You have no idea how time consuming it is until you do it. So let's describe, if you would, Shelby, how it worked with a recent guest, and that could be a model. And if you want to do this for us, we'd be happy to have guests on. Tell us about that.
So, and this has happened more than once, but the recent, like, perfect guest that comes to mind, we had him on, I think, in about mid-August and mid-September, is Chris DeWallet from ammo.com. He reached out to me, Shelby, here are topics that I'm good at, and here is my website where you can see some of my writing, and here's my contact information. I'd love to come on your show. So he has given me a topic.
Contact info.
He has given me his contact info, and he's given me ways that I can vet him. So honestly, that's the best way to do it. Now, every now and then I reach out to people that I think might be good guests. Those are actually harder because that person is then like, I don't know, we'll see, maybe, I don't know. And it honestly turns into call me in 6 months. And it's impossible to keep up with. I don't have the bandwidth to chase down somebody and schedule that. So
if this were our day jobs.
Oh gosh, yes. In a hot second, we would 100% do it. I'd be inviting people.
Yeah.
That's why other.
Hours a day.
That's why other huge personalities, much larger than
they
us.
They have like executive assistants and we don't.
That do this full time. They just do scheduling because it can be such a cat herding adventure.
Michael also asks, how about a Jack Decker update interview? The answer to that is one does not contact Jack Decker. Jack Decker contacts you. And for those of you who don't know the name, he is a former intelligence guy. Very well placed. He resigned after Benghazi. No, he resigned after Hillary Clinton was caught with all that top secret material and nothing happened to her. And he gets a hold of us. We can technically get a hold of him, but we like to save it up. When he has something to say, that's when it's best to have him on. But thank you. He's a very, very popular guest. And if you haven't heard his shows before, number one, go back in the archives and listen. And number two, be waiting for when he contacts us. What's our next one?
Let me just give one more thought about Jack Decker. We did just interview him a year ago. So if we were to reach out to him, he might say, and it's not time yet.
Yeah.
So Steelheart asks, what actions or repercussions do you foresee here in the U.S. if when the U.S. becomes directly involved in the Israeli-Hamas-Iran conflict? Go Glenn.
A lot of badness. Here is the most likely scenario, in my opinion. I stress again, I am not an expert in this, and I have no intelligence community contacts. Again, they call me, I don't call them. So here's what I foresee, and this is pretty standard, so this is not a big revelation. If there is a U.S. role in the Israel-Hamas conflict, and there may not be, it is pretty certain that Hamas slash Iran, because they're the same thing, and Hezbollah slash Iran, they are also the same thing, and Islamic Jihad, you get the picture, they will strike the United States. And there's a sub-variant of all of this, and this is if the U.S. gets involved, I said they wouldn't, but if they did get involved in the conflict by the U.S. striking Iran or Israel striking Iran and taking out Iran's nuclear facilities, Iran might say, okay, game on. I don't know how to say that in Farsi, by the way. Iranians are not Arabs. They are Persians and they speak Farsi. But anyway, it would be game on, and Iran would say to the United States, okay, you want to fight? We're going to give you a fight. And who knows how many of the, I'm told, 6 million people that have poured over the southern border are Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and Hezbollah operatives or terrorists that can be bought by Iran, because it's not just like, you know, the home team. I mean, people do this mercenary style, so don't forget that. It could be Icelandic people. You don't know. But anyway, so it would be Iranian-backed, influenced, armed, directed terrorists doing what they did in Israel on October 7th and just doing mass casualty, horrible stuff, I mean, that makes absolutely no sense and is barbaric. And that is entirely possible. That is the scenario.
So we are already, I believe, being sucked into this.
Yes.
Not just, we've sent naval ships to the Mediterranean. I mean, there's
that. Would be more oriented towards a strike on Iran.
Right. Three things that are coming to mind. One, all of the anti-Semitic protest, paid for protest.
From the left.
From the left.
Not the right.
On, I believe, Dana Lash's show this last week, she brings the receipts about the amount of money that are being poured into these groups to cause these protests. Guess where it's all coming from? George Soros.
Yep.
$150 million for paid protests. We have Rashida Tlaib, a sitting congresswoman.
Yes.
She brings, again, Dana Lash brings the receipts, the huge receipts about how much money this woman has received from Hamas directly.
Yes.
So there's that. And then Dan Bongino's talked a lot about how just being prepared for, here as preppers, to be ready in case something October 7th-ish happens here. He has been very passionate about making sure and imploring people, get yourself prepared and make sure you are ready to defend your home.
So the scenario is Hamas et al. Go and start launching attacks on U.S. soil. So the question was, what do I see as the repercussions in such an event? Massive panic and terror. Mm-hmm. I see blue states in particular effectively locking down. A Hamas attack on New York City doesn't mean that we here in Montana have roadblocks on the highways, because we're a lot more level-headed and we don't overreact. But you would see all kinds of civil disturbances. You would see just-in-time inventory. You knew I was going to say that. Just-in-time inventory being completely messed up. You're going to see, it's going to be like a September 11th style of disruptions. I don't know about the actual attack, what form it takes. And it's super easy for Iranian terrorists to just start shooting up schools and
soft targets. They're already here. We know they're already here as well.
We 100% know they're here.
Ron DeSantis has laid out the receipts on that.
Yeah, exactly. And Donald Trump has too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, everybody with the brain knows that these horrible people are
here.
And they're just waiting for a coded message to start their horribleness.
And the ground has been softened by these protests, by this pro anti-Semitic stuff that is absolutely 100% leading the main headlines.
Exactly. So you would have all these attacks, just numbers wise, the odds are overwhelming. You would not be shot up by Hamas. I mean, let's be honest here. The odds were on September 11th, you were not on one of those planes. So I'm not saying there's a direct threat to you, the listener. There could be, but I don't think it's likely. But what I see is the disruptions. So in the timeline, the immediate announcement of this is shock and horror. I think conservatives are a lot less surprised because we've been saying this for years. But the blue states, they're completely apoplectic. They can't even believe what's going on. Oh, my goodness. How can we blame Donald Trump for this? So you've got the initial shock and amazement. Then you've got the disruptions. It depends on what the attack looks like. There could be some attacks that are designed to cause even more disruptions, blowing up fuel storage areas so there's no diesel, so your Doritos can't come to you from LA, that kind of stuff. Depends on the attack. So you've got that. And then I think you're going to see in a lot of areas, candidly, a lot of good old boys starting to carry guns around and just saying better safe than sorry. I see that happening. I see the left freaking out about that, telling us that the United Nations is how we need to handle this problem. And I'm not making that up. I really think the extreme left would be that idiotic. So you've got that. Here is one of the medium to longer term ramifications, repercussions, as the question asks. I think you would see an absolute avalanche of Republican elected officials. I think America has already figured out that Joe Biden and the other leftist nut jobs do not have the United States interests at heart. And I think the southern border will become the biggest, oh my goodness, how did we let this happen thing. I think tons yep. of Democrats, good-hearted, well-meaning Democrats, and they do exist, and independents, and even people, here's the key, even people that, quote, don't care about politics, all of a sudden when a mall near their town gets shot up, now they have to care about politics. And Donald Trump in particular is going to say, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Mm-hmm. And we're going to see Republican margins in the 2024 elections that are so enormous that the Democrats cannot cheat. There's this thing called the margin of cheating. It varies, you know, a couple percentage points to maybe 4 or 5 percentage points, depending on where you live. The Republican swell will be so massive, they cannot cheat their way out of this.
Right.
And further predicting, and this is not like a political thing, this is just, you ask about the repercussions, here's what I see. I see massive Republican gains, and I see Republicans, especially Donald Trump, handling the situation. I think we might have to wait until the results of the election come in before things happen from the U.S. I think that border gets sealed up. What I don't see happening, since you ask about repercussions, I'll tell you one that I don't see happening. I don't see the Biden administration suddenly figuring out that we need to secure the southern border because there might be terrorists coming in. They've had that opportunity for a really long time, and they've decided that they want to register a bunch of new Democrat voters more than they care about the security Absolutely. Of the United States. So don't see that happening. But do see, I think this could be one of those generational political seismic shifts where everything changes. And I say generational because if this happened, and I pray it doesn't happen, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I think it's a probable thing, but it's not a good thing. When people, regular people, see how idiotic opening up the southern border was, and the northern border's no party either, by the way. We have that problem here in Montana. So when people see what was so obvious and predictable and what happened from such a weak, terrible president, they are going to vote Republican for at least a generation. And Absolutely. This may be one of the ways stuff gets fixed.
Well, and an example of that, if you look over at some of the European countries right now, I want to say Slovakia,
Excellent
Poland,
point.
A couple more.
Yeah,
they are
Hungary.
Closing Hungary. They are locking down their borders, and they have taken influxes of immigrants much like ours. And they are saying, no, heck no.
And there's a bunch of terrorism.
Right. And there's a ton of it. So I think there is going to be a seismic shift. And I think it's going to get pretty ugly. And I also think those that have been shown to be involved in corruption in terms of funding some of this terrorism, a lot of it, they're not going to be held to account.
No. And that's going to be another thing that is going to really make Americans mad when nothing happens to Rashida Tlaib, for example.
For inciting violence.
Yeah. And there you have it. That is what I see happening. I think this is something to definitely prepare for. And you guys know what to do.
Yeah, exactly. So we're going to start this question. We may have to jump over to a break. And this is a good question. It's from Richard in Wisconsin. He asks, there are a lot of various laser dry firing products advertised. Are they worthwhile in terms of increasing your firearm skills? How does it compare with live round practice, dry firing, shooting snap caps? How beneficial is it comparably to shooting pellet guns, airsoft guns? So Then there's a conversation that happened. Ben jumps in and says, Mantis X Pistol and Mantis Blackbeard for AR room clearing. Mike Glover does a great video on YouTube for this. Somebody else jumps in. I find the combination of Mantis X and Mantis Laser Academy to be incredibly fun and effective. And then again, Richard comes back and says, what is the purpose?
Which we will answer.
So I will say this. I bought for you a Christmas a couple years ago, right before we moved, and it got packed up, and I still haven't seen it yet, is the iTarget.
Yeah.
We have not used it.
Which is the letter I and the word target. Mm-hmm.
I got you that. We have not set it up or done it, but my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, Glenn, it is great for—
It's fabulous.
For that dry firing, just that being able to immediately set your sight and get immediate feedback without wasting. And I bought it at the time during COVID when you couldn't find ammo or it was incredibly expensive. Great way to practice your firearm skills through dry fire and get immediate feedback on your accuracy and save on
ammo. We should start off by telling folks what dry firing is.
Yes. Yes.
And what it is it's a way of practicing gun handling and marksmanship without shooting actual ammunition, which has a variety of advantages. Like you can do it in your house, which you should not be shooting live rounds in your house.
And when you do dry firing like this, you have to remove
all ammo out of the room.
Out of the room. So there's no
mistakes
at all.
Yeah. And what it does is it gives you muscle memory. It allows you to instinctively, and I mean instinctively as in without even thinking, unholster your firearm, get it on target, press the trigger, and then you can practice clearing jams. You can do a variety of other things. All the really good shooters dry fire, period. End of topic. There is no argument. The question is it something you need to do? I think it is something you need to do. These systems are relatively inexpensive, 100, maybe $200. And we won't get into all the different brands and everything.
Yeah, there's a lot out there.
There's a lot out there. It is great to do, and it would make a fantastic Christmas gift. Like you were so nice to get me that gift, and we haven't, constructed it or put it up. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry about that. You can do it for 5 or 10 minutes, and it gets you really, really familiar.
So before we go into the break, one of the things that I'm interested in these systems for is the flinching.
And yes. You can see your flinch.
You can see your flinch, and I'm bad about that. That's something I've always had to battle.
You fire SIGs.
Stop it. But that whole flinching and anticipating the recoil, especially for women, it's a great little tool for that. So I recommend. Oh my gosh. And now we have to take a break. But oh my gosh, folks, we have so much more to talk about.
Tons more.
So many great questions. So join us on the other side of the break for more on our Patreon prepping questions.
More Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher is coming right up. Hear all our previous shows free online at prepping2-0.com. Without water, you're done in 3 days. Pro One Water Filters. It's literally a matter of life and wet. Pro One G2.0 all-in-one gravity systems are NSF ANSI 42 component certified.
Not everybody can say that.
No need for additional add-on filters to reduce fluoride. Pro One stainless gravity systems include a stainless steel spigot and a countertop stand for no additional cost. Pro One Water Filter Gravity Systems. Check them out at ProOneUSA.com. That's ProOne. USA.com. Most tested, most trusted.
Prepping 2.0 is about that next level of prepping. One of the key 2.0 items to have is bulletproof body armor plates. I used to think body armor was too tactical for a regular guy like me, but it isn't. Give yourself, your family, and your team an unfair advantage when bullets are flying. Body armor used to be expensive and hard to get. Not anymore. KD Armor, and that stands for Come and Take It, make solid and affordable body armor for normal people. Get body armor while you can. The clowns in Congress are trying to prohibit future sales. KT Armor is the place to get it. CATIArmor.com. Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount when you use the coupon code GRANT.
When the grid goes down, darkness will descend fast. Used to be there was nothing you could do about an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, or CME, coronal mass ejection. Now you can protect your electronics, protect your family, thanks to EMP Shield. EMP Shield invented a simple-to-install device that prevents whatever's connected to it from frying in an EMP or CME, and it costs just a few $100s. EMP Shield has been tested by independent laboratories and passed muster with the government, which has ordered lots of them. Google EMP Shield and see for yourself. And save some money. Get a $50 discount per device. Go to prepping2-0.com. Click on the Friends and Affiliates page, then click on the EMP Shield logo. At checkout, use coupon code PREPPING2.0. It's all one word.
In a tactical situation, your AR is your life. Gibbs Arms makes a sweet feature, the only side charger that can use a standard bolt carrier group with no modification. Gibbs makes them in 9mm, 5.56, and 308. In fact, Gibbs Arms has been granted 8 patents for unique innovations. The company started back in 2008 when two Boeing engineers realized no one else made what they wanted. Take a look at their website and see all the ways Gibbs Arms can help you mod your AR. Gibbs with a Z, arms.com. That's GIBBZARMS.com.
Are you a prepper or homesteader looking to connect with like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own preparedness group? Already have a group? Well, look no further than PrepperNet. PrepperNet is dedicated to personal responsibility, individual freedoms, and being self-reliant. PrepperNet has monthly meetings in over 100 cities where you can meet and learn with like-minded people in your area. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Find us online at PrepperNet.com.
Shelby Gallagher here. We found that you need to layer your food preps.
Yeah, this is Glenn Tate here. A lot of times the hardest part of layering is the long-term foods. We love Numana foods, which have a 25-year shelf life and are non-GMO. Also, organic meals are available.
Numana comes in family-style portions and in bulk. This is not backpacking food. It's family meals that last for at least 25 years. The perfect freeze-dried part of your food layering.
You can get a sample of Numana meals for $19.95 and see for yourself. You will be amazed.
Prepping 2.0 listeners get a 10% discount by entering the code PREP.
Go to Numana.com or click the link on the Prepping 2.0 website.
Give it a try. Numana.com. That is N-U-M-A-N-N-A.com.
Now, more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for rejoining us. We're just getting started answering Patreon's questions, but for even more, stick around for the after show, and I'm going to give you, Mr. Glenn Tate, some rapid-fire questions.
Okay, so we were talking about what if Hamas unleashes a terror wave in the United States? What would be an action you would take to mitigate that? That would be having a truck or car gun. The best one I can think of is Gibbs Arms, G-I-B-B-Z Arms. They make AR platforms in a variety of configurations that make a ton of sense. To understand all the innovations, and they have several, and the coolness of their products, you need to go to their YouTube channel, which is Gibbs, G-I-B-B-Z Arms on YouTube, or you can go to their website, GibbsArms.com. You need a small, handy weapon that can be stowed, presuming it's legal, in your vehicle. You never know when this is going to hit. You never know when you're going to need it. And you can't go wrong with Gibbs Arms. You owe it to yourself to get something that is tailor-made for this very specific use.
Oh, and especially when you watch some of the footage that came out on October 7th, the ambushing of vehicles. Oh my gosh, vehicle guns are so important.
Archive Dive, episode 94. This is a previous episode, hence the name Archive Dive, plus it rhymes. Archive Dive, we look back at episodes in the past. We have so many new listeners every show. Thank you, new listeners, by the way. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
That's awesome.
We love having you here. And we talk about some of the topics we've talked about in the past. Episode 94, which aired in August 2020, was a rather intellectual but practical topic, and that was food as a weapon. You should have it, not need it. And when I say intellectual, we didn't just say, hey, you should really have food. I mean, because you know that, right? You eat several times a day, so you know this. But it was looking back at history and other cultures and other crises and looking at how bad people have used food as a weapon. In fact, it's a standard move by bad people. And so we talked about that and what it means, and we sort of broke a lot of people's assumption that this is America. Of course, I'm going to have 52 kinds of peanut butter because, I mean, come on, I've always seen 52 kinds of peanut butter. And so our point was you should have it, not need it. And we went into some of the ramifications, all of which are ugly and awful, of needing food and having food controlled by bad people. So we highly recommend it. It was one of our deeper dives in the archive dive.
Yes.
And I think it was a fantastic show. So now we're going to go back to Patreon questions. Star Friedel has a question that Shelby is going to answer.
Star is one of our awesome Patreons that joined us at the event that we host at our home every year for patrons. And she asks, so I tell you that because this will make sense now. Have you thought about having more educational breakout groups on the different days of your Patreon get together? Know y'all are crazy busy, but the group might help with it. Y'all are the best. So what I think is awesome there, the group of Patreons that come and visit us have become kind of a tight little group, and it's been happening now. And so Glenn and I have gone back and forth on this. If we do something like that, it cannot take any skin off of our nose. See, go Glenn.
This is not our day job. No. I mean, I keep saying that. I know I sound like a crybaby, but I'm just being real with you guys. We may be able to, but it's hard enough to have 40 people at our house over Labor Day weekend. And we love doing it.
Oh, gosh. It is a total blast.
Yeah.
And then we have to recover for about a week of sleeping because it's so exhausting. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so incredibly fun and exhausting.
We would love to do it. We just can't make any commitments.
Okay. So let's go on to the next
one. Yes. May I?
Yes, you may.
Barrett Runyon. That is a very cool name. Sounds very English aristocracy.
Well, I just think of Paul Runyon, like the logger, like the...
That's Bunyan with a B.
Oh, this is Runyon. My bad. All right. So what does Barrett want to ask us, Mr. Tate?
Barrett Runyon asks, what are some home defenses that can be done around the home and street we can do now or plan out if we need to hold a defensive position in them? I am no expert on this. There are a ton of YouTube videos. One thing I would keep in mind when you're looking at various YouTube videos by people who have actually been in combat, and I never have, thank goodness, by the way, I never want to be, is keep in mind sort of reality here. If somebody's saying, and you put in a minefield and tank traps and you've got laser guided cruise missile targeting software, that's probably not terribly practical. And I exaggerate a little bit for effect, but some of these home defense videos are designed to make the videographer look like an incredibly cool and smart person. And so be practical. A lot of it's common sense. A lot of it is directing pathways, whether that's on foot or by vehicle. A lot of it is hardening. So I don't have like a long list of answers. I just know that there are resources out there and that I can tell you that keeping it real is really important.
And as I think about this, and I've been thinking a lot about this as I've listened to Dan Bongino's show lately, because his big thing is be ready to defend. Because there's all the things that you can do where you can turn your house almost into a bunker that is a bulletproof bunker. He talks about like putting hurricane windows on
that
homes.
That are like $30,000.
Incredibly expensive. This isn't something where I can just say, yeah, go do these five things. We'll protect your home. You have to think about where you live and what's practically you can do at your house. But yes, you need to do something. It is so individual. It's so personal. And it's so up to you. Where we live, it's not as huge of a concern as the person who's living in downtown New York.
Yeah.
In an apartment. I mean, yeah. So this is a very difficult question. But yes, whatever you're thinking about doing, do it times five.
And to be somewhat anticlimactic about defenses for your home, here's something that a lot of people don't think of. And it's something we talked about last week, and that's fire extinguishers. It's not a hardening, but it is a great way to survive an attack on your home. Several apocalyptic novel series have, in my opinion, correctly predicted that there will be a lot of arson and fires. And if you've got a way to put that out, now you have to have a way to use your fire extinguisher without getting shot. I grant you that a fire extinguisher is not the be all and end all, but everything needs to be a system.
Absolutely.
And the system should be deterring attack in the first place, slowing it down, defeating it, and then dealing with the consequences of the attack, which would be fire extinguishers and first aid.
And I'm going to drill this home even further. I'm not concerned about an attack where we live in the middle of nowhere because our population is so minimal. Stay out of cities. Mm-hmm. And we've been saying that for 3 years now. Get out of high population areas because high populations are what will be a target.
Yep, 100%.
Starting right there. So I'll go to the next one. Can we get a panel show? This is from Ben Wheeler. Can we get a panel show with Sean Swanson and Jack Decker? Short answer is no.
No. And here's the thing. Everybody is familiar with Zoom.
Hey, I use Zoom at work. It's really cool. We get 28 people on at the same time.
It doesn't work that way with a podcast. When you expect the quality of audio that we provide, a lot of that has to do with Andy, the producer. We have a very good microphone system, cost a lot of money. And when you get people together on conferencing call things, conference calls, Zoom, however it is, the audio quality is so bad that you would be mad at us.
Oh,
you would
absolutely
be disappointed. And till about like the last time we tried it, because we kept trying it because we wanted to find a way to do it.
Yeah, we want to be able to have a conversation. Last time we did it, and we did do it, is with the brothers that own Survival Garden Seeds.
Yeah.
Great show. One of them was in one state and one was in another state. So we had kind of a conference call going. And sound quality wasn't great because one of them was in a car with a dog.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
It was the guy's mom.
Yeah.
He's like, Mom, cut the dog shouldn't be barking. It was like, hey, Mom, can you hand me an egg salad sandwich?
And that goes to the scheduling. This is what worked for them.
Exactly.
And when you're talking about two people like Sean Swanson and Jack Decker, it's like trying to capture cats. It's too difficult.
We're
being real. It's too difficult. Sometimes it comes together. And even then when it does come together, it's subpar.
Next is Bear. And he or she, probably a he, asks, what is one skill or more that has been most beneficial to you and that you have learned and currently use as a prepper? I will take the first crack
Go
at
for
this.
It.
That is going to sound weird. It's mechanical knowledge. Now, you need to understand the deficit I'm coming from. As everyone who's been around me for more than 5 minutes knows, I took the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery in high school, which tests you on various things you're good at and not good at. My score on mechanical reasoning and spatial reasoning, 15th percentile. That's horrible.
It is, and that's what happens when you don't take geometry.
Yeah. If I would have taken geometry, I would have been able to know how to tear a carburetor apart.
You would have been able to pack a trunk.
Okay. Anyway, let's not start with this. So I have a huge deficit to overcome. And how did I overcome this? And I'm not even kidding. I cannot on my own figure out things like detents and screws and springs. You ought to see me try to, hey, here's a classic example. One time there was a floor that had a low point and a little mesh thing on it and needed water to flow into the low point. And somebody said, hey, take this cup. And it was a tapered cup, like a Burger King pop cup, soda, pardon me. And it was pretty obvious that you stick it little end in first and it would fit because it was tapered, right? You all are understanding what I'm talking. Bottom of the cup would go in. I put the top of the cup on and the water kept knocking it over. That is how terrible I am at this. So did I sit around and cry and ask for pity? Nope. I started learning how to do stuff. And the primary way I learned mechanical things, which apply to absolutely everything. Some people are gifted with it. So maybe this isn't a skill everybody needs to work on, but it's a great example of a deficit and coming to grips with it. I started working on guns, the mechanics of guns. Those of you who have read 299 Days or listened to the audiobooks know that I would make bolt carrier groups at Capital City Guns. And it was really hard for me to do that, but I kept working and working and bringing my skills up. And now I try various things. I give myself a little bit of grace because I can't get it usually on the first try. So that is something that permeates just about everything. So mechanical skills. What about you, Shelby? I'm sure you've got something.
Honestly, I would say mindset. And my mindset is one of always, and part of it is where I work too. I'm always alert. I make sure I know what's behind me and in front of me. And I make sure I know what's behind me in front of me. It's always being on alert that someone can come from behind or do something behind my back and head on a swivel.
Yeah.
I've had to always be working on that. So yeah, that's right. That's mine. I mean, I want to give some more questions here if that's okay.
Certainly.
So the next one is Locker
513.
Yeah. What's the chance of hearing from Dan, the food executive? Kind of the same answer as Jack Decker.
He calls us.
And generally, and just so you know, we don't reach out to him. He reaches out to us and tells us there's some trends coming your listeners need to know about. And so when he's quiet, the trends are pretty much the same as where they were. And I think the last time we had him on was maybe a year ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about, I believe a year ago, the inflation, incredible increase in the cost of food and so on and so forth. And so the numbers have just come out. The average American family right now, inflation has cost them, and you know this is going to hit them in the pocketbook in the grocery store, $7,000 a year.
I think that's low.
Yeah, I do too. So that's coming from the government. So just so you know, so that just feeds into what he told us the last time we had him.
And for new listeners, I highly, highly, highly recommend you go back and you look for the old episodes we've done with Dan, the food industry guy or the food industry expert. He is indeed a food industry executive. And he knows about stuff that's coming because he's involved in, for example, purchasing trends that won't play out for 6 months. Probably our best guest, our most popular guest, he has predicted things, and he doesn't just predict what's coming, which in and of itself is cool. He tells you why. A great example was, he said, you're not going to see as much ketchup. This is 2020 on the shelves. I'm like, why is that? Is there a shortage of tomatoes? He said, no, not really. There's a shortage of the squirt bottles that ketchup primarily comes in, and the caps. And there's one plant in Germany that makes them. And he said, our company purchased all of their production. We bought them all out. It was incredibly expensive, but we have ketchup squirt bottle caps and nobody else does. And stuff like that, it makes you understand. And I remember distinctly going to the grocery store after interviewing Dan and realizing all the stuff he was saying, I could see it play out on the shelves.
Suddenly you look at the ketchup shelf and there's maybe a bottle tucked way underneath that's tipped over. Yeah.
Yep. Garage Jim. And by the way, we have not read these. We purposefully go into these fresh because we like to give our first thoughts on this. Garage Jim asks, he says, in your books, you talked about vacuum sealing food into smaller portions. What are some of the foods you would recommend as well as expiration dates once sealed? Well,
You did this more in your book than I did in mine.
Yeah, smaller portions. Types of foods I would recommend, first of all, they would be foods that you're going to eat, and they would be foods that you're not allergic to, or maybe you can't have a lot of sugar. I'm gluten intolerant. I get allergy reactions.
He's a snowflake.
I know, I am. But so there's number one. So it's foods that you're going to eat, and I'm a big fan of smaller portions because you don't have to open up an entire, you know, vacuum sealed bag of 20 pounds of something and have it sitting around and everything. It's brilliant. There's layering. You knew I was going to say layering, but I mean, you've got some small portions, you got some medium portions and some larger portions. As far as expiration dates go, that is impossible because it depends on foods, but it kind of doesn't. And here's what I mean by that. Expiration dates or best buy dates, and that's not the audiovisual retailer, it's best BY, meaning it would be better to eat this by a certain date, are not really a thing for the most part. If it's not perishable, then the expiration date and the best buy date are just sort of rules of thumb. It helps you rotate things. It also helps stores sell more stuff because you look at that can of chili and it's like, oh my goodness, this expired last year. I better go get more. There have been experiments where there has been commercially canned food that has been about 100 years old that did not have any bacteria in it. Now, it was all like gross and gelatinous and disgusting. And I'm not saying a 100-year-old can of chili is going to taste great, but it's not going to poison you. So that's as much as we can say. This is one of these topics that takes either the expiration dates, either it takes 20 seconds or 20 minutes.
And we did a show.
We did four shows.
On vacuum sealing foods.
And we did Food Preps 2.0, which were the four episodes. and we go through all this stuff in greater detail, you can see why this archive dive is a real thing.
Yep.
Because you can go back, and there's an awesome search feature at prepping2-0.com. Mm-hmm. The little magnifying glass in the upper right corner, you could type in Food Preps 2.0 and it would point you to all four episodes. You can listen to them. And so, great question. The answer is taking more time than we have.
Yep. So, but definitely keep looking. The internet is your friend on that. So Matt Williams asks, what was the last class you took as a student? What is a skill you've not made time for yet? I will answer that.
Yes.
The last class I took as a student was, I think, 2, maybe 3 years ago at the Panhandle Preparedness Expo, took a class on processing rabbits. It was really good. And then right after that, we moved and life got really crazy with cancer and COVID.
And moving.
What is a skill you've not made time for? Processing animals. That's something that I would love to do more of, especially living where we live and having some of the ability, some of the access to fresh meat, and especially hunting. The ability to hunt. Right now, honestly, we have wild turkeys that just walk through our property.
Yeah.
That I would love to harvest.
It's like they own the place.
Oh my gosh. And they kind of scavenge food from my chickens. I would love to be able to harvest and process those. And so I don't feel bad that I haven't taken a class, learning that, because I've taken the class, but second of all, YouTube is your friend so much of the time. So yeah, that's something that we're getting there. So what's yours?
The last class I took as a student was, sadly, 2020. I know I'm disappointing everybody. See, we have a choice here at Prepping 2.0. We can lie and make you think we're totally cool, or we can be honest and you can relate to us. So we went with the latter.
Yep.
So last class I took, 2020, was a firearms course. It was magnificent. It was advanced rifle. I got to tell you, quick little story about that. Sometimes in these classes, I'm in the middle part of the pack. I'm not an amazing shooter. I'm not an amazing tactician. But this last class I took, and it was with many members of the team, I was on fire. And they were like, bro, did you just do that? And I was clearing drills. It was so cool. It felt so good. So it was a firearms class in 2020, a skill that I've not made time for yet. This will surprise many people. Hunting.
Yep.
And it's a system. Shelby was alluding to this. She was saying, we got turkeys walking in our yard. And this morning, a turkey looked at me and said, what are you looking at? I thought that was rather bold.
They get a little bit saucy.
A little bit saucy.
And they're a little too comfortable.
Exactly. So it's a system. I mean, the actual, like, pulling the trigger part, I don't archery hunt. When you're missing a pectoral muscle, pulling on a bow is an extraordinarily unpleasant experience and apt to fail. So there's that. But the shooting part is like 0.1% of hunting. You gotta be there. You gotta know where it is. You gotta scout it out. You gotta make sure it's legal to hunt there. That's kind of a key thing. And you got to know how to get it out, right? I mean, how to field dress it and get it out, because you're not just going to shoot a deer and leave it there. That's horrible. That's unconscionable.
That's completely irresponsible, yeah.
And so you need to know how to process it. And here's the thing, you know, take turkeys for an example. We got the finding part down because they come to us. They're like the Amazon Prime of wildland meats. They come to us, right? But if we shot one, we would have to process it and do all that stuff and preserve it. And we don't currently, because we have day jobs and then we record shows on the weekend, we don't have the time to properly do it. So we're not going to undertake it. So hunting is something that I keep telling myself I'm going to get around to. I've got a million opportunities to go hunting with really good hunters. I just haven't done it, and I think it's a key skill.
Yeah. Well, and here's another one. Let me just add on to this. And you've noticed this in some of the shows I've done lately, and especially if you're part of the Patreon super secret group for those who have attended our events at our house. I've really taken on the whole idea of making medicine with the plants we have on our property. Here's what's really cool. I have not taken a class, a formal class, and gone to a classroom. YouTube is your friend. There are formal classes posted online where you are sitting.
Free ski.
free and I can do it on my time. So I think the internet is kind of a game changer with more and more of these things being online too. But let's go on. Should I do the next one or should you?
I think you should.
So Dennis R. Hain, I'm going to hopefully say that right, says, with winter coming, what are some tips to keep mice, rats, or squirrels out of vehicles and storage areas? The first one is, first of all, all of those critters have been bothering people since the dawn of time. So there's no like one and done. Set traps, seal everything, get it off the floor. Do not have any open food anywhere.
That's a huge one.
Funny story. So this last beginning of summer, we were cleaning out our garage that we had just kind of shoved everything in and closed the garage when we moved. We opened up a plastic tub, that had dog food in it.
An open food container, like mm-hmm. we just told you not yep. to do. We just did.
But it was in a tub that we thought made it sealed, which was not the case. Open it up. I hear a squeak, squeak, see movement, close it up. Glenn, the hero that he is, mm-hmm. grabbed his .22 mm-hmm. and shot a mouse.
In the face.
It was awesome. So
that doesn't count as hunting,
by
the way.
No. So keeping everything sealed, off the floor. Do not create a good environment for them, which is going to be food and shelter. That's part of the problem. They will go into those areas because it is shelter, especially in areas like this where it's so cold. Go ahead, Glenn.
There are chemical disincentives, I think would be the correct word. There are chemicals that mice, rats, and squirrels really don't like.
It's like a repellent. It's scented.
It's scented like peppermint. Apparently. And this shows you how goofed up mice, rats, and squirrels are. They don't like peppermint. If you don't like peppermint, I don't like you because it's delicious and smells great.
And so they come in these little packets that you can put in your car.
Yeah, and there's squirt stuff too. So I highly recommend the squirt stuff. It's all over Amazon. Get like rodent repellent spray. It's not a chemical, so it's not going to mess anything up. And they can smell. They have incredible senses mm-hmm. of smell. A little trace amount of this peppermint stuff, and they will stay away from it, which is great. And so there's that. Here's another completely like inexpensive, awesome insect life hack. I keep saying insect. I meant rodent mm-hmm. life hack. And that is Irish Spring soap.
Yes.
It has a scent that apparently people like, but rodents do not. You can take a bar of, and we do this in our big shed where we store all our food. Mm-hmm. We got all the open food out of there. And so just take a box of Irish Spring, open the top, put it in there, put it in wherever it is. I'm assuming it's dry because it'll lather up and go away. And it'll keep rodents out. It also works on deer.
Yes, it does.
Yes.
Lots of good things.
Speaking of deer, hey, deer, isn't it time for us to do something?
Yeah, it's time to close. So we're going to carry this conversation, just like always. We run out of time before we run out of show, but we're going to carry this over into the after show for our Patreons. But folks, as always, failing to prepare is preparing to fail, from our great founding father, Benjamin Franklin.
Adios.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. All the information you've heard today, including all our previous shows, is online at prepping2-0.com. Find out more about Glenn's books at 299days.com and Shelby's books at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.